Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to the NutriMedical Report. The dynamic first hour of the week starts off with Josh Bernstein. And Josh, of course, always has an analysis of all the major things. I think we have more news now in a week than we used to have in a year. And we need sharp minds to actually do that. And Josh is right up there. His website is Patreon, patreon.com/Josh Bernstein. Do contribute to his show financially. And do get blessed with the knowledge you're going to get, because you're not going to hear some of this information pretty well anywhere else except on his program and, of course, on our show when we bring him on here. Josh, we have a lot of things going on. We have the re-election of the dictator, Putin. We've got Trump literally kind of edging toward the idea of getting rid of Mueller, although I really think he's the best way to get rid of Mueller is just simply start the second independent counsel. That'll get rid of Mueller, because Mueller will be under the gun himself. And you know, there's lots of stuff going on. Why don't you just start off with what you think of the top issues? Because, you know, there's still calls to try to do gun legislation. I think it's luckily that Trump decided to set up a commission rather than trying to raise the age for young people that are able to have rifles. I mean, if they belong to the ROTC or if they're in a gun club, I mean, why does a 17 or 18-year-old mature young man who could go to fight in the military have to wait until they're 21. You know, if they're mentally ill, it doesn't matter what age they are, like this guy Cruz, he should have been locked up in a facility and given care rather than let him to become a mass murderer. So tell us what you think of the key issues, and let's rock and roll.
Well, look, I think the key issues here with gun control is we need more guns, not less guns, number
right.
one. Number two, if we're going to raise the gun age to buy a firearm to 21, then we ought to raise the voting age to 30. How's that? Because, you know, that would get less liberals voting, of course. But
right.
look, I'm more serious.
You're also a comedian, too, by the way.
Yeah.
You could be a stand-up comedian.
I'll be here all week.
Yeah, I know
so,
you will.
On a serious note, I think that Mueller, the real investigation, obviously we want to have a special prosecutor on Mueller. That is a must. Why that's not being done is just beyond me. But the next investigation that needs to be done is into Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook. And
right.
all of the crimes that Facebook has done, Fourth Amendment rights seizures, confiscating information, working with this Cambridge Analytica company, to you know, to thwart conservatives and their ability to get their message out. Now there's an ex-Obama official saying that Facebook was with us. I mean, the real investigation needs to go towards Facebook. I think that should be the first thing that needs to happen. You know, there's a reason Zuckerberg has sold billions and billions of dollars of his shares recently. I think he sees the writing on the wall. For the first time in the fourth quarter of last year, the Facebook users have diminished over that fourth quarter. People using it has actually gone down. So I think Facebook, you know, understands that the behaviors and the positions that they have taken in the last, let's say, 2.5 to 3 years is not conducive to them surviving much longer if they continue this, but also it's against the First Amendment. It's against the Fourth Amendment's privacy rights and things like that. I think that there needs to be an FCC investigation into Facebook, and I would put Zuckerberg on the stand and see if we can shut down this Facebook group, because this is just absolutely terrible what they've been doing.
Let me explain what Facebook is and what all these social media are. They're just arms and branches, I call tentacles, of the deep state through the no such agency. People need to know that. Do you know that the phone company in China, 3Com, is actually completely owned by the NSA? So what people should start understanding is that Zuckerberg and these others are just the face of Facebook. Did you know that Mark Zuckerberg can't code? Did you know that? He doesn't know how to code.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So you have to understand, these people are just the face of Facebook. What's really going on, they even share land space in Virginia, Facebook and Google and people like Amazon. Remember, Amazon is another face of the global economic intel police state. And they're gradually closing the fist on all of us. So it's the surprise is that people are waking up. That's why, especially young people, they're not only dishing the regular media, they're dishing the so-called social media that they feel is abusive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And look, you know, just a couple of months ago, Facebook was caught for asking the question, "Who do you sleep with?" I mean, you know, they asked the question on their surveys, and then, you know, they got rid of it right away when it caused a big uproar. But the personal invasion that Facebook and YouTube and Google and all those companies are doing is just absolutely malicious. And as I've said many times, you know, in the 20th century, you know, tyranny was gotten at the barrel of a gun. In the 21st century, it's voluntary. It's voluntary tyranny. We are giving away this information, and these companies are using this information against us. I'm not saying that I want a regulation of Silicon Valley and social media sites, because I feel as though that will backfire eventually under another administration in the future. But I think we ought to have some type of internet and social media bill of rights where these companies cannot do these different things. You know, we have a constitution for a reason, and now that everything is done online in the 21st century, we need a bill of rights so that these companies cannot do what they've been doing and getting away with, by the way, for the past 15, 20, 25 years.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you think are the other major issues? I see Mr. Putin, for example, getting more and more aggressive. Now, I want people to – I'm going to go back a little bit in history. If you actually go back genetically to look at who the people, the Russians, are, one quarter of the Russian population have got not just Hebrew but Jewish genes. Do you know that, right? And the very first thing they did 100 years ago when they decided to do their pogroms is they killed off the religious rabbis in the former Soviet Union, Russia. Now, you have to understand, Mr. Putin, who knows what his genetics are? That's why I call him Rasputin, because he's certainly acting like a political operative that's planning to rebuild the Soviet Union. But the fact that he's hacking into our power grid, the fact that he's hacking into our water systems and our internet, the fact that he tried to do a very lame, through his buddy that spent $2 million through social media, just to kind of polarize things further, this is very scary. This guy, with his new weapon systems, whether he has them or he's in the process of developing them, I tend to believe the Russians, when they say they have something, they may not have a lot of them, but they have enough to cause us a lot of grief. And the other thing is Russia, we now know from our intel that John W. Spring has said, is that the rocket systems and the guidance systems that are on the Kim Jong-un's nuclear forces developing came directly from the facility just outside Moscow. So Mr. Putin's not our buddy. Now, we can deal with things like conjointly going after ISIS, but the fact is we support ISIS. We had John McInsane doing selfies in 2009 in a town outside Amman where we and the Israeli Mossad were doing it, and even former Mossad directors are freaked out at the fact we're supporting operatives inside Israel, including one an anesthesiologist who called me 10 months ago, Jewish anesthesiologist, and said, "I'm an American and I'm an Israeli, and my parents, when I told them what was happening, because I took care of a former ISIS fighter, not in Jerusalem, but Tel Aviv, my mom and dad said, get the heck out of there and go and come home back to America." people don't understand what's going on. It's so convoluted now and so bizarre, the whole world scene. And look, now we have two dictators. We've got Xi, who's dictator for life. We might as well call Putin dictator for life.
Mm-hmm.
This is really scary stuff, and people don't understand. Our Silicon Valley companies are collaborating with the Chinese to crush the poor Chinese people, and a lot of them are engineers and technicians and scientists trained in the West, in America, Canada, Britain, etc. And they go back to China, and they have to live in these ant farms underground because they can't get a job. Out of 8 out of 9 people that are qualified can't get a job in China. It's a disgusting mess.
It is. And not only that, and I've talked about this on your show and on other shows, there is a new evil alliance that has started to take place, I would say, sometime around maybe 2006, 2007. And that alliance is Russia, China, North Korea,
right,
and Iran.
Right,
and
exactly.
Throw Venezuela in there as well. But basically those four countries, of course, with Syria, so maybe those five countries, they have aligned up against the United States, Canada, Mexico, and for the most part, many areas in Europe. And if there was, God forbid, a World War III, that is how it would break down. And
exactly.
It's extremely scary.
Yeah, it is. We're in trouble. And, Josh, a couple of things. Firstly, Joseph DiGenova has been hired as one of the attorneys for Donald Trump. Now, explain who this guy is. I've seen him on, he's been on Alex Jones' show. He's been on Fox News many times. He is a very strong anti-globalist, isn't he?
He is. He's the former U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. He recently came out, he was on Fox News recently. And he basically talked about the plot to destroy President Trump. And he's absolutely correct. Here, I'll read what he was talking about. He basically said that President Trump was being framed, which there's no question he is. They wanted Hillary Clinton to win. Obviously, thank God that didn't happen. So basically what they've done is they have this guy now on the legal team with Jay Sekulow and some of the others. So this is a really good addition. Let me tell the folks out there that are listening, this is a really good addition. This is the attorney that said that there was a brazen plot to illegally exonerate Hillary Clinton, and if she didn't win the election, to then frame Donald Trump with a falsely created crime. All you have to do is remember Andrew McCabe saying, first we F Flynn and then we F Trump. So it kind of goes along with everything that he's saying. Everything that we have seen from these text messages and from all the facts developing show that the FBI and senior DOJ officials, conspired to violate the law and deny Donald Trump his civil rights, DiGenova said at the time on Fox News. So this is a excellent, excellent addition to Trump's legal team, and hopefully he'll take the lead. Because this guy is no holds barred, and he's excellent, and I think that he's going to help out quite a bit.
Well, this week is the week that I think Sessions, now that he's fired McCabe, he's going to appoint the special counsel. Now, you have to understand, going right back to the anthrax attacks and so on, that Mueller has been involved with cover-ups and screw-ups for decades now. And the fact that he's continuing now, what I heard is the third arm, I watched Napolitano, the third arm of the investigations. They can't prove collusion, they can't prove other things. But now they're going back before his presidency and trying to say that he did money laundering and foreign business deals. This is not part of the investigation. This is like trying to find a crime or find something that can violate something so you can prosecute and remove Trump from office. Mueller needs the real... Mueller needs to be removed, and to be honest with you, when this special investigation gets going, Mueller, who is involved with many other things, including the cover-up of the anthrax investigations and what happened there. In fact, when I met in March of 2001, 6 months before 9/11, the FBI and CDC directors told me they were going to do war game simulations with anthrax released into the public. They told me about micro-nukes going on in the northeast United States at a major city, and I said, you're New York, and he just nodded at me, yeah, plausibly deniable. you have to understand that what's going on is the deep state have been doing horrifying things to America and American citizens for decades and people around the world. And they're finally, this, the mask is off now.
Right.
And you have to understand how bad these people are. I just pulled up over the weekend. I did some research, and I found some pretty good evidence on, that Barbara Bush is the illegitimate daughter of guess who?
Who?
Aleister Crowley.
I have heard that. Again, I don't...
I've got enough evidence now. Politics. I've done research for a while, and I've got enough evidence now. I'm going to post it up. And it makes sense. Because you remember the Ordo Templi Orientalis, George Bush Sr., and all these other people were involved with deep state abnormalities. You look at, for example, at Bohemian Grove. That's why, for example, you look at people like Bill Clinton.
It's real. No question.
Yeah, it's very real. And Bill Clinton, they consider him, George Bush Sr. considers Bill Clinton George Bush Jr.'s brother. He said that publicly so many times it's nauseating. I'm not a genetic brother, but brother in crime, the deep state crimes. You know, people have to understand this.
No question about it. They're very, very close. We know that the Bushes sided against President Trump during the primaries and even after the primaries. And, you know, we know that George H. Walker Bush Sr. was no fan of Trump, and neither was Barbara Bush. They may have said at the end that they voted for him, but I don't know. Some of them said that they didn't. And that they wouldn't tell who they were voting for.
I want you to give your comments about Facebook again. We went back into a bit earlier. Cambridge Analytica filmed bribes, expies, fake IDs, and sex workers to entrap politicians. So now their stocks are dropping like a rock. And there's what's called at the top of the drive that says, Facebook freakout. What do you think of this?
Well, again, I believe that Facebook has been caught with their pants down, so to speak. They have been harvesting tons and tons and tons of our information. Apparently, they worked with this Cambridge Analytica that then worked with a professor that created this program. It was like a generic personality trait thing that they put out on Facebook. And I think they said about 100,000 people actually used it. But what they didn't understand is that those 100,000 people that used it, this app that they had on Facebook was then allowed to get their friends and their friends' behaviors and their friends' information. So that 100,000 turned into millions, and that millions turned into, you know, I think the last thing I heard was like 2.3 or 2.8 million people or something had their data taken and breached and used basically against them. And what they were doing is they were creating personality traits. And they were then taking those personality traits and formulating ads and things like that to be put in front of people to basically disrupt the system. And so Facebook needs to answer for that. Facebook has tried to have deniable plausibility, but it's not going to work. There's a reason that he's dumping his stock, because I think he understands that there's going to be an investigation sometime in the future, which there rightfully should be, and he's trying to get out from underneath it. But you know what? In the end, a lot of people are not using Facebook nearly as much as they were. For the first time, I believe in their 14 years or so that they've been around, I think it's 14 years, maybe it's been longer, the last quarter of last year, they actually had a decrease in user activity on Facebook. That hasn't happened pretty much ever.
Now, that connects to the story that you did months ago. We talked about briefly earlier in a segment about the Chinese and how they're using this technology of data acquisition. Now the Chinese are punishing people that are low scores on the People's Republican Army. Their social credit scores are low, so they're punishing them. They won't even let them get on planes and trains. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, I did a story on this 6 months ago. I did it right on your show, as a matter of fact, and many other shows. And I explained that in 2014, the Chinese government, the Chinese Communist government of China, developed a plan to use the internet. And by the way, they used WhatsApp. Yeah. WhatsApp was part of it, believe it or not. They supplied the data and created the app for the Chinese government to be able to do this. And they said by 2020, everybody in China, 1.3 billion people in China, will be rated publicly rated on their behaviors, on their association, on their jobs, on their loyalty to the Chinese government, on their posts, on their, you know, things that they do, where they work, what they drive, what neighborhoods they live in. It's absolutely insane what is going on.
And remember, this is a global...
done in America, it could be.
It could be, and not only that, if they're testing one-fifth of all humanity in China, don't think it can come to our doorstep. It will, if we don't stop it.
Right.
Predictions in the next few weeks. Not prophecies, but predictions. I'm predicting that Sessions in the next 2 weeks is to declare a second council that's going to investigate Uranium One and that Uranium One, et cetera. He has to, otherwise he's going to get fired. I can tell you right now, he's already seen the clean-out happening at the White House. And look at the crazy attitude that Tillerson had about Iran and the issue of the tariffs. I mean, he went off script completely, didn't he? No wonder he got fired. He was actually on the crapper when he got the message from Trump that he was going to get fired. He should have expected that. I heard that from a really good source. He was actually on the toilet when he got his phone or text message from Trump. You know, like The Apprentice. Okay, Tillerson, you went off script. You're fired.
I actually didn't hear that part, but, you know, look, I don't know. I mean, I have two trains of thoughts on this. One, you have someone that went rogue and was not with the same messaging as the president and obviously supported the Iran deal and, you know, was at odds with a couple things. They had some beefs, you know, a while back. But the other part of this is, do you want to fire the one guy in your administration that has the most knowledge and is the closest to Vladimir Putin? I don't know if that's a good idea because I see Mueller now turning around and subpoenaing Tillerson at some point. Now, I'm not saying that there's any bodies to be buried or anything to be hidden, but if there was, Tillerson would know exactly where those things were. So I see this as a dangerous thing. No one's talked about this in the media as far as I know, but I don't exactly see this as a good thing for firing Tillerson now. If the investigation was over and dismissed or he was fired, well, that's another story. Then you get rid of him. But doing it now in the middle of this, and he's the closest one in your administration with ties to Russia, not really sure how good that was.
Right. Well, I think Russia... I also think that the sanctions are going to increase dramatically, and our cybersecurity against Russia. Russia has very advanced cyber attacks against our power grid, our water systems, and even our airports. The thing is that China is doing the same thing. They got 250,000 in Tianjin, China. They call the Tianjin Blue Army. They're actually cyber attackers in these giant buildings in Tianjin, China. And what people have to understand, they're not the only ones that want to attack America cybernetically. What I see happening under Trump, he's in the next two terms, the 7 years that are remaining, Trump is going to accomplish three things. He's going to increase cybersecurity. He's going to close our borders. He's going to increase the missile defense system so it's actually impervious. By the end of his two terms, nobody will be able to hit us with a missile. He's going to also increase in financial security, which means he's going to secure the dollar. My guess, he's going to back the dollar with gold or something like that, bring the gold standard back. And you're going to see American prosperity to go dramatic. Now, the problem is, as the rest of the world suffers, they're all going to try to park their carcasses here and try to get free this and that. But I have a feeling that one way or another, if it doesn't happen now, it'll happen in 2020 when he gets reelected. He's going to get everything he wants without having to go nuclear in the Senate. And the Democrats have committed geopolitical suicide. They put everything on the idea of never Trump, never Trump, never Trump. And they have nobody, no stars to actually replace him. Now, after Trump is gone in 2024, I'm very concerned because they don't see a rising star that can replace Trump when he's gone in 2024. And so I really think he needs to start working on that issue now because, believe it or not, 7 years will come pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, it could. I mean, obviously, we got to get through these next, you know, these next 2 years. But I think, you know, we've got to get rid of this Mueller investigation. This is the albatross that has, you know, been quartered and hanged around his mm-hmm. neck. This is the python that is squeezing his momentum, squeezing his away.
I don't know why. The first thing I think you should do is not get rid of Mueller right away. I think what you need to do is replace Rosenstein. Tell Sessions to replace Rosenstein with somebody who's not a political operative and put somebody else in there. And then this new assistant DOJ, because he's not recruited, can then narrow the investigation so they stop this third arm of investigations going pre-election to go back to Trump's business dealings. And once that happens, then the whole thing can close. So my feeling is the best way to do this is to get rid of Rosenstein first and give it a month or two, and then have the new assistant attorney general, who's not recruited on the Russia investigation, to narrow the scope of Mueller's investigation and cut him off. And then it'll just close. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, I think that probably does make sense. I would really like to see, as you said earlier, the appointment of the independent counsel prosecutor against Mueller's investigation. I think if that happens, the whole narrative changes.
Oh, yeah. That needs to happen in the next week or two. See, if he does that, and they get rid of Rosenstein and put a new assistant attorney, DOJ director in there, game's over. Because Mueller will then be narrowed into scope.
Because Christopher Wray, too.
Well, Christopher, talk about Christopher Wray. Who is he? This guy says some things that make.
He's very close with Comey and very close with Mueller. He's worked with both of them throughout the years. His claim to fame was busting the Enron guys. But again, he's close to the deep state, and I don't know how independent he would be. I would say that more than likely he is compromised as well. I don't know why that appointment was done. I don't think that was a smart move by any stretch.
No.
So I would like to see Christopher Wray removed as well.
I want you to hear the comment on this. During his hearings when he was being appointed, he made a statement he wants to use metadata on all Americans. So he wants to turn it into a pre-crime police state, and that's not what I'm not talking about with metadata, mental health, and money, which is very narrow to just go after instead of court hearing for a year. They call a red alert thing that that the senator from Florida has talked about. You know, what I see happening is Wray has a very police state attitude toward this stuff rather than the idea of using it strategically to just take out bad actors rather than interfere with people's gun rights. And again, we've had on the program Larry Pratt, and I may get him back an hour or two here to talk about this. And talk about the gun owners, because I'm a gun owner here in California, is the idea that they tried for now over a year and a half to get legislation through to open up the gun-free zone. So if you have a gun permit, a concealed carry permit, say in California or some other place, you can go to New York and they can't take your gun. The fact that all these murders, including in San Bernardino and in the school, they're all no gun zones.
Right.
I mean, this is so straightforward, it's amazing, isn't it?
It is. James Holmes, the Colorado shooter at the movie theater, he went to the seventh movie theater in Aurora, Colorado. He went to seven different theaters and scoped them out. And the last one that he went to, the reason that he did his crime there is because it was in a gun-free zone.
Right.
Most of these schools are in gun-free zones. We've got to arm these teachers. We've got to have plainclothes officers walking around protecting these schools. We need bulletproof enforced glass. We need steel-reinforced doors. We need a button underneath the desk like you see at the bank. You hit the button and it automatically sends a silent alarm to the local police department when there's a shooting, but it also automatically locks the reinforced steel doors that have bulletproof glass, so if the shooter did get into the school, he's stuck in the hallway and the students are safe. There's a lot of things that we can do, and, you know, getting rid of the gun-free zones and putting up signs saying that you will meet an armed resistance is certainly a step in the right direction.
I heard that the governor, the mayor of New York City, actually is taking away the last gun-carrying security officer of a school of 5,000 in New York City. And I saw them this morning as one of the teachers and one of the students in the school saying, why are they doing this? This is New York City with this gun. They were actually taking away the last armed officer in the school. This is craziness, isn't it?
It's total insanity because that's just inviting somebody to come into the school. You know, look, you know, what about the kid that went to the walkout, you know, for the kids that are being used as pawns in the gun control debate?
Right.
One kid had a shirt that said, guns don't kill people, people kill people. The principal literally took him and removed him from the walkout and sent him to the principal.
Tired of being censored by.
Thing is, I'd like to find out where you think the trajectory is going with Kim Jong. I know that we could do a heck of a lot more to put the thumb screws on the Russians, the Chinese, the individuals, the banks. We know their GPS and coordinates. We know their SWIFT transfer bank numbers. Why don't we just squeeze the hell out of them? And we can. And I guarantee you that what I've heard from my regular and classified sources, by October, Kim Jong will run out of money. No more Rolex watches or big cars to his generals. He's done. He's a done ticket. And in fact, the Russians, through the transfer of this technology from a facility just outside Moscow for rocket engines, as well as integrated circuits and other material, including his guidance systems, those are Russian. People have to understand the Chinese are collaborating too. So they try to pretend they're not involved, but in fact, for decades, they've actually been collaborating with Kim Jong. And now I'm certain there's scientists on site from Iran and Venezuela and who knows where else, maybe Brazil. So this is really serious. I mean, I sat in a movie theater 2 miles underground, 1994, July 10th, and they showed me a 45-minute presentation by former Disney executive digital engineers showing the proliferation of nuclear weapons. Well, the proliferators are Russia and China through their proxy of Iran and North Korea. And this is going to get way out of control if we don't stop it this year with Trump.
I agree with you, and, you know, one of the reasons the sanctions in the past did not work is because they have underground tunnels that they built years ago under the Bush administration, I believe, maybe even before that, and they have stockpiled them, not just with weapons, but with gold, with silver, with cash. You name it, they have been hoarding cash and gold and silver and precious metals and things like that underground. We ought to drop a bunker buster bomb directly on it and blow up all those assets down there, which would literally put the regime at a point where they would be scattering, like when we went into Iraq. If you remember the images when we went into Iraq and you could see all the generals of the Iraqi guards, you know, running around and, you know, they look like cockroaches. Well, we could do the exact same thing to Kim Jong-un. They don't even have electricity. So, I mean, we could do it, and we would just annihilate that regime in one shot. And all you have to do, again, like I said, is pinpoint where those tunnels are, pinpoint where those hidden assets are, and boom, drop some bunker busters right down there. You wouldn't even affect the people. You wouldn't kill any of the civilians, and you would literally take out that regime.
Right. I'd add two other things that we can do to decapitate North Korea and put China on notice. Number two, hit with a thing called a grazer, which is a calibrated gamma beam weapon, the palace and all the places for the military or headquarters. Number two, and number three, to target all the 18,000 tube rockets aimed at Seoul, South Korea with nukes. Take them out in a matter of seconds without any warning, and blam, Kim and his generals are all dead. The gold is gone, so even if there's ones that escape and try to get the gold and take off and do things, and hit his nuclear launch facilities as well and blow them up so they can't. Because remember, some of these things are very deep, but if you blow up the surface, they can't bring these rockets to the surface and shoot them. And the same thing with these tube rockets that could hit Seoul, South Korea. The thing is, they try to think they have a gun aimed at her head, but we can take and bash that gun away and take them out. And I honestly think that the negotiations with Kim are not NOT going to work. And that China and Russia want to keep Kim Jong in reserve and also proliferating nuclear weapons to eventually at some future date. And again, the data I've heard from my sources, including in China, is 2025. By 2025, China's ready to take on America with nukes, with warfare, with economic warfare, and with taking over the world economy. And if you think the Belt and Road is just a little nice thing where they're going to build a, like a Roman road for trade, no. It's to project power. And people need to start waking up to this, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they have to. They have to. Because this isn't going to go away. And God forbid, you know, in 8 years from now, we have a left-leaning, people come into our government, administration, sorry, I couldn't think of the word, and the next thing you know, they just appease these folks, and they've grown in power. They've gotten better and better with their nuclear capabilities and facilities. They're enriching more and more uranium. They're building more and more bombs. We've got to stop this. We only have a certain amount of time. I would say less than a year before we have to stop this.
Right. Now, I want you to comment about Philadelphia. What do you think happened there with the election of this ex-military person who tried to pretend he's a pseudo-Trump or Democrat and he's going to fight against Nancy Pelosi? This is total crap, isn't it?
Oh, it totally is. Yeah, you're talking about this Connor Lamb situation. Now, let me ask you, he's already conceded. Saccone's already conceded the race, right?
Right.
I haven't heard. Are they still counting any provisional ballots or anything?
I don't know if they have, but I have a feeling that he's already conceded. The problem is you can make lots of funny names for Connor Lamb. How about Con Man Lamb? And when he gets there, if he even was honest and actually tried to oppose Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, he'll be exorcised out of the Democratic Party. I mean, exactly. People need to know how they operate. These guys are... they're like a pack of wild wolves, okay? If you try to oppose them, even if you have a justifiable reason, why the hell is he running as a Democrat if he's like is he pseudo-Republican?
Right. Nancy probably said to Connor, okay, I'll allow you to bash me and say that you're not supporting me and say that you support Trump because that district is so conservative. But remember, if you win this race, you need to fall in line with the rest of the lefties. And more than likely, that's what he's going to do.
Well, he's even said he's pro-life, and then he
fooled the people of Pennsylvania.
Oh, I don't know why the people were fooled. Like, tell me, Pennsylvanians, he's bringing back steel to Pennsylvania. He's bringing back your economy with a tax bill. He's trying to make your border secure, because, by the way, every state is now flooded with these dangerous criminal aliens. I don't understand why Connor Lamb got in. I can't understand it. I don't know if there's voter fraud. But, you know, they get a young, sharp-looking candidate. And, by the way, the older Saccone, this older candidate, he's pretty lame-looking. I mean,
he was a terrible candidate.
Yeah, and when he talked, he wasn't too bad. But he had this puffy look like, you need medical care. You don't need to be in politics, guy.
He wasn't a very good candidate. He didn't know how to raise money. That was another issue. If you saw that Trump rally, that rally for him was basically all Trump. And he got up maybe for 5 minutes at the end and said a couple of words and then handed it back to Trump. So, I mean, those people came out to see Trump. They didn't care about who Saccone was. It may have gotten him a couple of extra votes, but obviously in the end it probably wasn't enough. I would assume there's always voter fraud because, again, anytime there's a race between a Republican and a Democrat, you always have to factor in the 3 to 5% margin of voter fraud that the Democrats always perpetrate in every single race, no matter what state and no matter what part of the country. So, yeah, I'm sure that there was just enough there to put him over the edge.
Yeah. Now, where do you think things are going between now and the fall? We're now 6 months away from the election day. I think that this thing with Connor Lamb is an anomaly because the Democrats are going to think, well, that's it. We're going to have the blue wave. But my feeling is if Trump campaigns for every district where he won by 15-20%, where the Republicans, he's going to probably gain a number of seats in both the Congress and the House. I really think that this midterm election, especially now this one with Connor Lamb, remember it's going to be redistricted. So even though he won, he doesn't have a place to sit. That's what's really bizarre about this. It's almost like a psychological game against the people say, hey, see, Trump isn't liked in steel country anymore, and he's going to lose these other candidates, and his agenda's over. That's what the Democrats are trying to say now. The constant harassment over the Mueller investigations, which should have gone away months ago, and now they're trying to say now Connor Lamb has put a spike through the Trump agenda. And it's not true, is it?
No, it's not, but I think that there needs to be a cautionary tale here. Number one, statistically speaking, the party in power typically, historically, loses more seats in that first election. So that goes against us. The second thing is that the Democrats smell blood in the water, and they are targeting over 101 seats right now. And they have won a couple of special elections, obviously the one in Pennsylvania. You know, they got Doug Jones in the Senate in Alabama. So they have had some success. They also had some failures with Handel a while back, and they did win the Virginia governor. You know, so there's been some successes. There have been some failures. It's more of a mixed bag. But I will say this. The Democrats have a one-state strategy, and that one state is Texas. And they are doing everything they can. They're pouring millions upon millions of dollars into turning Texas blue because they understand that if you take Texas's electoral votes, California's electoral votes, Illinois' electoral votes, and New York's electoral votes, it's over. It's over.
Right.
The Republicans will be so in a hole, they won't even be able to get even close to competing. So
right.
I would hope that the GOP puts more resources into Texas.
Absolutely. You know, part of that is Californians don't like California, so they leave and move to Texas, and then they want to turn Texas into California. Isn't that bizarre?
Bizarre.
Yeah, it's bizarre. You know, excuse me, if you left because it's a screw-up, California, and you move to Texas, why don't you become a Texas Republican instead of staying Democrat and screwing up Texas? Wow.
There it is.
Amazing. Thanks a lot. Amazing program, Josh.
All right. Thank you. We'll see you. Take care.
That can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.